Or Jets.
Well, everybody, I didn't nail that prediction. Got it wrong. Adam Gase.
We still got time.
Adam
still
Gase.
Still got time, Mike. Still got time.
Is still the head coach of the New York Jets. So that's a bummer. The big NFL news,
Mike,
is
going to be there all year.
Taylor Lewan, left tackle for the Tennessee Titans, is out for the year, apparently. I believe he's the richest.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Lewan. It looks like Lewin, right? But I believe I've heard it pronounced Lewan enough times to go with that. He's the richest left tackle in NFL history, I believe.
But that's big, and we've discussed this. We don't pay enough attention to the offensive line, to both lines. But that is big because we were talking earlier about the Titans and how good they are, and they don't really have a big-name wide receiver, but they have that running back and that offensive line.
Well, when Mike says, though, of Lewan, I didn't know how it was pronounced, but I weirdly do know that Pro Football Focus was penalizing him a lot for how much he got penalized last year. I wouldn't have any earthly idea how good he actually is by watching the games. Tannehill seems to have plenty of time, but he also seems to get rid of the ball super fast, and he seems to do very well against anything that resembles a pass rush, and he seems to do extraordinarily well off of play action, and he's incredibly accurate. I don't know how much his tackle has to do with any of those things.
Well, he's the richest left tackle, you got to think, for some sort of reason. And look at their identity. They don't really have high-profile skill guys, although I do like that tight end of theirs who has local ties. But, you know, it's a guy on the ground putting up 3 200-yard games in his career as much as anyone, as much as the rest of the NFL combined during the same time span. You got to attribute that to the line somewhat.
I want to go back to the Warren Sharp tweet that you mentioned earlier, because maybe Vrabel is the guy that stood next to Belichick and actually learned something from Bill Belichick. We might have found the coach, because Sharp tweeted out at the time, one, he said Vrabel's outstanding. One, he rushes in 46 late, 12th man on D. 33 is WTF. Penalty for 12th man. Vrabel
takes
upset.
Was anyone supposed to understand anything
WTF?
You just said?
Like, yeah, 33 is WTF.
Do you know what that means?
Is that,
I mean, no, yeah. I know.
Is that player's initials?
Hold
that
on,
just
what
so
is WTF? What is WTF?
I don't know what WTF is.
What the bleep?
Yeah, yes. I believe it's what the bleep. Yeah.
But Stugatz, how are you?
But I didn't want to say that.
Stugatz, hold
everyone
on
knows what WTF is.
Stugatz.
I mean, you guys are just reading directly from Twitter. There was a PPR stat that was posed as advanced metrics, and now WTF.
Hold on. I just want to know.
It's what the hell.
I want to know where Stugatz is headed with, like, where, like, we already covered the specifics of that tweet.
Yeah, don't
you just muddied it down by just gibberish salad of words and letters. Where are you trying to go with this story?
Well, I was trying to go to a point where you, first off, he had saved 40 seconds, but I was also trying to get to the point where you thought that Vrabel was actually upset and didn't realize he was acting, because he listed it as the fifth reason Mike Vrabel is genius.
I don't know how it is that an NFL coach would need to act as if he's angry when outsmarting the other team by just climbing through a rules loophole. Like, he doesn't need to. It's not like Jason Kidd spilling that drink to get a timeout and then acting like he was doing that. Vrabel didn't have to act anything out.
That's where I wanted to get to. Why does he feel the need to act out? Like, I don't get it. You exploited a loophole. It is what it is.
The competition committee does this, where they just don't expect coaches to be scumbags, and there's a scumminess to it that Bill Belichick was mad last year when Vrabel did it directly to him. For example, what happens at the end of a game with zero time on the clock, last play for your season, just keep taking a pass interference, make it get to the point where you're daring the referee to not throw the flag in that spot. You assault them. Well, you do that late in the games because the time never gets put back onto the clock. Do it at right before the half. Always. DPI. Take it all the time.
What I thought was interesting about the end of that game is that Tannehill rushed to the line and didn't allow the Texans to think long enough to say, if we're in this situation, maul everybody. Just maul. Like, instead, they tried to play defense clean and fair, and they got beat for a touchdown with whatever it was, less than 10 seconds left. And the Titans, I thought, that's what I thought was extraordinary about how efficient they were marching down the field to win that game. It wasn't but a few seconds earlier where the Texans are throwing into the end zone. And if they complete that play, which they should have, by the way, because it was tipped at the line. Otherwise, he's got a wide open wide receiver, right, and they end the game because it's a two possession game. From right there, that game was won in the margins by somehow the Titans. And it's because Ryan Tannehill went right down the field very quickly, very efficiently, and with fewer than 10 seconds left, super calmly, without needing a huddle or anything, he just ends up throwing a fade to Brown. And you're like, why aren't the Texans just tackling everybody who's in the end zone? It's what they should have been doing. But they weren't as prepared for that, it would appear, as the Titans were.
Well, I think most people are governed by shame in that situation. But what do you do with a coach that is shameless in that spot? The NFL has to reevaluate some of these rules and at least go to Romeo Crennel, who was also a part of that Belichick staff. So maybe he had an idea of what was going on there and say, what would you rather have here? The 15 yards or the 40 seconds or some combination of both? Because Vrabel has been
five yards.
Yeah, this is a weekly thing with Mike Vrabel. If you watch the Titans closely enough, he will always manipulate the clock to his team's advantage.
It's part of the game.
And when it you're trying to see, because we're the layman and just Joe sports fan on his couch has trouble explaining exactly what an impact a coach has on a game. Mike Vrabel has several standout moments of clock manipulation that stand out as like, oh, he's being smarter than
super
the other person.
Super scummy. So smarter and super
again,
scummy.
Because other people probably know that this exists and they just decide against putting that out there. At least Vrabel's now acting, which is cute.
I can't believe this has happened to Tannehill. He's become this good and this invaluable. I mean, the second he left here and Adam Gase, I just can't believe it. I cannot believe Tannehill has turned into this kind of quarterback.
Billy, can you put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show? As many mistakes as I make all the time around here, more so than ever, is it an understandable mistake confusing Cam Cameron and Joe Philbin? Because I mixed up eras of Dolphin leadership there,
right.
And I had Cam Cameron coaching the team much later than he actually was by giving him Tannehill.
Same person to me.
Are they the same people?
Cam Cameron, yeah. No, why?
Cam Cameron doesn't look like a pilgrim.
But he kind of does, though.
I mean,
He doesn't look as much like a pilgrim as Joe Philbin does, admittedly, but he's absolutely sitting near the cornucopia at that Thanksgiving table.
I mean, Chris, there might be a time as you get older where if Joe Philbin's walking down the street, you might ask yourself, is that Cam Cameron or Joe Philbin? I know it would happen to me right now. It would. It really would.
There was an entire administration that came in between Cameron and Joe Philbin.
Sperano?
We had the Parcells-Sperano thing. And then in 2012, Tannehill was drafted by the Philbin era that brought in his college head coach. Yeah, Cam Cameron was fired immediately upon Tuna's arrival in 2008.
A lot of people, help me with this, Chris, because I want to know your level of enthusiasm and whether you're going to drag Roy and Tony and Billy with you, okay? You were the most ardent of the Heat supporters in the shipping container, and you are a Marlins guy, but I think you're our biggest Dolphin fan. It was handed down from your father. That's been the team of your childhood. Your father, it was the only team that your father had in South Florida when he was growing up because we didn't have anything else. So yesterday is a hopeful day for the Dolphins. This used to be a Dolphin town and only a Dolphin town. And when the other teams got here, it was still a Dolphin town. But the Heat have taken this city. And I do believe, because football matters down here still across generations, that it wouldn't be that hard for the Dolphins to take it back. But it would require hope at the quarterback position. Now, what do you make of the 3-3 the Dolphins are? Stugatz, can you show me some of the other teams in the league? And again, it's a small sample as it comes to point differential. It's more important over 16 games than it is over 5-6. But can you give me some of the comparable teams to the Dolphins in the sport this year who are around plus 50 and what their record is? Because the Miami Dolphins are 3-3, but in the last couple of games, they've done something that Dolphin teams never do. They've just smoked people.
Well, they're plus 47, and they're 3-3. The Titans are plus 38. They're 5-0. But I'll get to the plus 50 teams.
No, but whatever. Just around there. I'm looking for what it means about your football team when five games in, you're something like plus 50. The Bills aren't. Are the Bills even plus? Are the Bills plus?
The Bills are minus 3, which is pretty surprising. Plus 62 is the Steelers. They're 5-0. Plus 38, as I just mentioned, Titans 5-0. The Colts are plus 42. They're 4-2. The Chiefs are plus 39. They're 4-1.
The Dolphins have a better point differential than the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's a cockamamie stat.
The Dolphins have a better point differential than the Packers, just so you know.
I just hear every right. time someone tells me point differential.
Well, five games in.
Like, we can't do that with a 60-game baseball season, and we certainly can't do it five games into an NFL season.
I know what Mike's doing here. Look at the Browns' point differential. It's not very good.
Yeah, the Browns' point differential is terrible.
Yeah.
Because they've been blown up by, what, like 60-plus in their two losses?
Yeah, the Jets are the only team in the NFL to not have scored 100 points.
They're not close either. They've scored 75. It might take them 3 weeks to get there.
I think next, in terms of being the worst in the league at scoring points, is the Redskins, and even they have eclipsed the 100
football
mark.
Team.
The football team. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They have 101 points.
It's
going
to take some time for a lot of people.
It is. I think they have 101. I mean, this is so bad.
Man, Stu Yatz, you were so right about this Jets schedule. I mean, I was looking at it because of looking for the Jags game. Like, the easiest game they have left is, like, the Dolphins again.
It's brutal. Mike, have you seen this?
Yeah, I was surprised at how difficult it was, and then I saw they were playing the Browns. I'm like, ooh, dub.
Just to give people an idea, it's Bills, Chiefs, Patriots, Chargers, Dolphins, Raiders, Seahawks, Rams, Browns, Patriots.
And the Browns drew you at a very interesting time. They play you on December 27th. Now, you do want to get the one win before then, because trust me, even when you're tanking, you don't want to do the winless thing. That lives forever. But by 27, your season is lost. You're just counting down the days at that point. That is a prime schedule draw for the Browns, which usually play you outside of like the first 3 weeks of the NFL season, historically, whenever we faced, because we're always finishing around the same spot in the division.
I'll trade lives forever 0-16 for Trevor Lawrence right now. I will, because Trevor Lawrence might live forever.
Who's the second quarterback on the mock drafts? Is it Justin Fields?
I don't give a shit.
It's Justin Fields. It's all about Trevor Lawrence. It's all about Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and I'll take Dabo if that's what I have to. And I'll take his son. I don't care. I'll take all the Swinneys.
We were talking about all the Swinneys. You know, there's a bunch of Venables on that defense, too.
Yeah.
Like their defensive coordinator, like Clemson, I hate nepotism.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.